that Wednesday night, and we went on Sunday morning and went on Sunday night. And I thought that was going to be it. But the Lord isn't done with this series yet. And I've not called this How to Be a Loser, but this is We're Back. We're back. And I want to talk tonight about some things about winning. Started off with How to Be a Loser and talking about I'd rather win. Amen? Wouldn't you rather win? Amen. All right. Wow, that's pretty good. Amen. It's a pretty good crowd tonight. I'm glad to see everybody here. I'd rather win. As a matter of fact, if I had the choice, I don't think that I would ever purposefully choose to lose. So tonight we're going to talk about winning. All right, but if you would, stand with me as you turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 8. I know you just sat down. We call this Yo-Yo, the Yo-Yo Party Church. Joshua chapter 8. We're going to look at a lot of this tonight, but I just want to read a couple verses here, and we'll go on. And the Lord, verse 18, the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand toward Ai, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that he had in his hand toward the city. And the ambush arose quickly out of their place, and they ran as soon as he had stretched out his hand, and they entered into the city and took it and hasted and set the city on fire. And then go down to verse 26. For Joshua drew not his hand back wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Lord, I'm so thankful for everybody that's here tonight. I mean that, God. I thank you for our visitors, Lord. I thank you for just those that are faithful. Lord, I just thank you for those that have been working here this week. Lord, I just thank you for the efforts that have gone into being here tonight. Lord, I don't take it lightly, Lord. I know that folks work all day and Wednesdays can just be an easy time to just sit back and say, you know, I'm too tired to go to church. But, Lord, they're here. And I pray, God, that you would fill them up, Lord. I pray, Lord, you give them what they've came for, Lord, something from your word. Lord, I pray, God, that you just have your way in each and every heart. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Now, as we've gone through this, I've not really, as is my fashion, at least I think it is, I like telling stories. I like to look at the story and just get into it. And listen, if there's a fella in the Bible that fits the description of what I call an action hero, it'd be Joshua. I mean, come on, man. This guy's done some battles, all right? He is a warrior. He is a man's man, all right? Him and Caleb, at 80 years old, were stronger than most 20-year-olds, okay? They were men, all right? And God used Joshua mightily. And, you know, when I think about, and I know I kind of joke about it a little bit, but I mean it. It wouldn't amaze me one bit. I wouldn't be surprised one bit if Joshua truly did just have one leg. And I could just see him walking around with peg leg, you know, peg leg, his name was Pete, but, you know, you could see him walking around with just one leg and giving instructions and being the general that God wanted to be, no matter the adversities that he had, no matter the problems that he faced. And I can just see him as they're going around Jericho, excited about what God's going to do, excited about the anticipation of watching the walls fall down on that seventh day, excited about God giving him the victory, this great victory here at Jericho. You know, and listen, when you have victories, like I like winning. We've talked about this, okay? And winning is cool. You know why? Because it makes you feel really awesome. Makes you feel superior to those that you won against, right? Amen? Right? Come on now. I know we're in the day and age where, well, we don't want folks to feel like they are a loser. Well, then tell them to win. Right? If you don't want to feel like a loser, don't lose. Win. Okay? And I know it's a shame in every contest there must be a winner and a loser, and I just choose to not be on the losing side, and I don't like that. And so I can just imagine as Joshua has witnessed the walls come down, as Jericho's getting wiped off the face of the earth, and these things are happening, man, how pumped he must have been. Man, God, you are awesome. Look at this. I mean, you tore down these walls for us, Lord. That is just amazing. And get God to give us this city like this. And Lord, you've been giving us this promised land. You've been promising this land for 500 years, God. And I'm the guy that you're going to use to give it to us. Man, that would be, I'm sorry, that would get me kind of pumped up. You know what I'm saying? It'd be like roids on roids. You know what I'm saying? Ready to go, okay? And so Joshua is pumped up. And then he gets the news. Then they get this little city called Ai, okay? And you know, Ai is not Jericho, right? And I know we talked about this, but Ai's not Jericho. Ai, we'll find later, Ai had maybe 12,000 people in it, okay? And it wasn't that big of a city. It wasn't near the city that Jericho was. It didn't have the walls around it. I mean, obviously it had some walls around it, some gates around it or something, but it didn't have Jericho. It wasn't Jericho, right? Because the guys that went and spied it out, they said, look, Joshua, you know, just send 3,000 guys. You know, we got this, man. I mean, look at this Jericho. This is nothing. We'll go take care of this. So they do. They take the 3,000 guys and they head to Ai. And man, Joshua, I know he's sitting there basking in the victory that is Jericho. And as the 2,900 and I'm not going to do the math because I'll look really stupid, come back from Ai and the defeat, and Joshua feeling that moment of defeat. Now, one thing I like this, okay? Look, sometimes we lose, right? Amen? This has nothing to do with the message. This is a Hoffism, okay? Sometimes we do lose, okay? But I don't have to like it. Amen? Joshua didn't like it. You know how I know he didn't like it? He wanted to figure out why he lost. Because, see, we got people today, and this does preach. I don't care. There are those today that, well, you know, at least we live to fight another day. No! You lost! Get mad about it! Joshua got mad about it. Joshua wanted to know what was going on. And I don't want to be that guy that sits there today and just says, well, you know, maybe we'll get him next time. No! I will get him next time. I'm going to find out what I got to do to get him next time. And I'm not going to make the mistakes I made before the next time. Amen. But that's the problem with society today. You know, well, it's okay. You know, I know we lost, but it's okay. We're so apathetic to losing. Amen? I mean, am I wrong? In that society today, well, it's okay. I mean, you know, not everybody gets to win. But I do. I'm a child of God. I get to win. Amen. Church, we shouldn't sit back and take the defeat that the devil dishes out in our life. If he does, then you're doing it wrong. Amen. Because we're not supposed to take the defeat. And so Joshua is on his face. Ai has destroyed 36 men, 36 lives. This horrible thing has happened. He doesn't know why, and he wants to ask God, God, why would you do this to us? And man, I can understand the dejection, the depression, the despair that comes along with losing because he don't want to happen again. I mean, God promised me the victory. Why am I losing? I got to figure this out. So Joshua gets on his face, and God says, what are you doing? Get up. There's sin in the camp. And so they get rid of the sin. God takes care of it. Shows them what the problem is. The problem gets removed. Amen. Amen. And hey, it's a shame what had to happen. And I know there are those that, well, did Achan really deserve? Hey, God is a righteous judge. He judges righteously. Amen. And when he judges sin, he judges it completely. Amen. And so he judged the sin, and Achan and his family were destroyed. But thank God, Israel was now back in victory lane. That's why I titled it, We're Back. They went back to Ai. God says, look in verse 1 of Joshua chapter 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee. Arise and go up to Ai. All right. Tonight's outline, I got 1 point. Yeah? That sounds good, doesn't it? Now, I got a lot of points underneath that 1 point, but I just got 1 point, all right? I'm not going to give you the 1 point yet. I'll give you the 1 point at the end of the other points, okay? But the first one is, okay, you want to be a winner, right? Amen? Raise your hand if you want to be a winner. Okay, well, my mother-in-law doesn't want to be a winner. I don't get that. You know, you all pray for her. I'm going to try and help her. She's going to say, well, you know, I had a bad left hand. I can't raise it, blah, blah, blah. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just giving her a hard time. Look, we want to be a winner, amen? So here's the first way to be a winner. Don't quake. What did he tell Joshua? Don't fear. Fear not. Fear not. What's that mean? It means don't fear. That's okay, so he says don't quake. Now look, and here's the thing. There are two things that scare us, amen? There are two things. There is the past, right? Why does the past scare us? Because we're dwelling in it. Joshua could have sat there and, you know, well, God, I mean, I know that we got rid of the sin, but, you know, I know you want us to go take Ai, but God, and I know you said that you're gonna give it to us, God, but God, you know,
what if it happens again? God, what if Ai whoops us again? God, what if there's still more sin in the camp? God, what if there's this problem? God, get over it. Get over the past. You can't live in the past. You know why? You know why the past is not going to do you any good? Because you can't do anything about it. You can't change it. Can you? Anybody in here can change the past? Got a time machine? I would love to have a time machine. My goodness, it would be so awesome. I'd figure out a way to make a saddle that would go on T-Rex, Chris. And I would ride me a T-Rex. I'd get a cowboy hat made out of alligator skin and ride me a T-Rex. Now, don't ask me why that's what I want to do, but that's what I'd want to do, right? And that has nothing to do with the message. I'm weird. A little insight. Hey, you married me, honey. So, we don't have a time machine. So, we can do nothing about the past. So, to sit and wonder if what happened is going to happen again, that's fear. Amen? You know what fear is? Anybody know what fear is? Fear is the absence of what? Faith. Fear is the absence of faith. And see, when we sit and look at the past, we're saying, well, I know God said that I can do this, but God, I don't believe you. That's what fear is. Fear is saying, God, I don't believe you. Because God said, go. God says, go, fear not. You can do it. But see, when we sit there and look at the past and what happened and worry about it happening again and sit there and wring our hands and rock back and forth and go, but God, I just don't think I can do it, God, because if that happens again, I just couldn't handle the rejection. I couldn't handle the problems. Lord, I don't know if I can do it again. Hey, get over it. You can't do anything about it. And then the other thing that scares us, oh my goodness, and I think this might actually be scarier than the past, the future. The future is really scary, isn't it? You know why? We don't know what's there. Still no time machines, right? I don't think so. Now, if I could go to the future, I'd go to the rapture, okay? Be done with this, okay? Right? Amen? Okay, trumpet sound, I'll put in that time machine and just get on to the rapture and get on out of here and not have to deal with it anymore. But see, the future scares us. Why? We don't know what's there. We don't know what's there. You know, and Joshua could have sat there and said, God, I know, Lord, I know you've promised us this land. I mean, it's been promised to us for over 500 years. Six generations have been looking for this, God. And Lord, man, I know that we messed up back there and when we got out of Egypt. And God, I know that we messed up. But Lord, I'm not looking to the past anymore. But God, you know, there's still problems here. Lord, man, there's Canaanites that dwell here. There's giants that dwell here. Lord, there's... Lord, what if maybe Ai doesn't beat us, but the next city does? God, what if these things? Lord, I just don't know that I can. I don't know that I can take the children of Israel through that again. Lord, I can't handle losing more. Lord, I can't handle losing this again. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen. And you know what we're saying again? Lord, I don't trust you, because see, when God says fear not, you know what He means. I know that this is deep. Y'all ready? Y'all ready for this? Amen. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. See, faith casts out fear. Amen? Faith casts out fear. We ought not to be fearing. So the future is something else that we can't control. The future is where? It's in God's hands. Amen? Let me ask you this, and you don't have to raise your hand, okay? But how many of you have trusted God in the past for the future, and it's been a success? Yeah? Maybe you say amen? Amen. Yeah. And so, there's one part we can look to the past and it help us, knowing that the same God that helped me back then is the same God that's going to help me right now. And it's in God's hands. And if God promised it, my Bible says to me that God cannot lie. That's what my Bible says, right? Amen? And if my Bible says it, well, that takes fact to a whole other level. You understand that, right? Amen? If the Bible says it, see, there's facts, and then there's the Bible, okay? This is the absolute truth. And if my Bible says it, then I know I can trust it. God says, don't quake. Don't fear the past, and don't fear the future. Then, another thing He says, this is how to be a winner. Don't quake. Don't question. Don't question. Now look, there in verse 2 it says, and thou shalt do to Ai and her king as thou didst unto Jericho and her king. Now, here you go, and you know, one of my least favorite phrases is what if. I think I'm even quoted in the Colonial Yearbook as saying I don't like what if. Because why? It doesn't accomplish anything. Right? It's speculating. All right? And so, don't question God's orders. Amen? Because that's what we're doing when we say, well, what if? What if? Look, again, that's fear coming in. And when we question God's orders, because see, God says, go and do to Ai what you did to Jericho. But God, that didn't work last time. What if it doesn't work this time too? Well, it would have worked last time if some dummy hadn't messed it up. Amen? And how did he mess it up? He didn't follow the orders. He questioned the orders given to him. Don't question. Don't question God's orders. It's just like Jericho, he says. Now, here's the thing about Jericho. What did God say about Jericho and the people? Kill them all. And I know we're thinking, well, that's just a mean God that would kill everybody. Listen, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish it, but have everlasting life, right? Yes, God does love. God is love. He's the very definition of love. So you can't point your finger at God and say he's mean, okay? But see, the thing is, God is holy. The Bible says he's thrice holy. He's a holy, holy, holy God. You know what that means? He can't be around sin. See, we can be around sin. You know why? We ain't holy. Amen? Matter of fact, not only can we be around sin, we almost prefer it if the flesh gets its way. Amen? But see, God says those old things, the things of Jericho, they're not going to be good for you. You got to get rid of them. AI is the same way. The things in AI, the things that AI has to offer, you got to get rid of them. Get rid of all of it. So the old ways have to go away. The old ways have to be gone, just like Jericho. Don't question God's orders. And see, the thing is, and we got to look at the, you know, I know we're looking to the story in the past and what happened, but we got to look at how it applies to us. Amen? Amen? That's what God's word is. It's basic instructions before leaving earth. So we need to look at it and find the instruction in it, right? And listen, we are commanded to go in to this world, right? Amen? Or actually, I say go unto, not into. But we're commanded to go into this world. But the thing is, we're not supposed to take the things of this world. Amen? We're not supposed to. What does that mean, Pastor? Well, listen, I got no business being in a bar. I don't. You know why? Because that's not where God wants me. I better be here instead, or out doing what God wants me to do, okay? I'm not supposed to take the old ways, because see, that's what old Larry used to do. And old Larry has to go away. And so the old things have to go away, just like Jericho. Now, there were some things that God said that's not like Jericho. Look here, he says, do thou as thou didst to Jericho and unto her king, only the spoil thereof and the cattle thereof shall ye take for a prey unto yourselves. So God says, but the spoil is yours. Now get this. I love this about God. Now why was Jericho, why is it Jericho, God said, don't touch any of it. All the gold, all the silver, everything that's precious is mine. Why is that? Because Jericho was the first fruits. Amen? And God says we're supposed to give him the first. Excuse me, give him the best. Amen? So that was God's. What is Ai's? What is Ai? Well, Ai is after the first fruits. Guess who that belongs to? God gives us the spoil. I love that here I am. I'm supposed to get rid of the old ways like Ai, okay? I'm supposed to get rid of the old ways like Jericho. Get rid of the old things. Get rid of the old man. Get rid of the old flesh. Those things are supposed to go away. But then there's things in this life that we get to hold on to. Amen? I'm glad, and I know that now I have an even better job than I used to have, but I'm glad for the jobs that I've had that I could make money in. You know what that is? That's spoils. And guess where they came from? They came from the world. They did, didn't they? Anybody in here got a job? Yeah? Now, my job is better than your job. My boss is better than your boss. Just saying, okay? I was thinking about this the other day, nothing to do with the message. I've got the best boss in the world, Brother Bob. Best boss in the world. He loves me. You all got a boss that loves you? Amen, sister, shut up. My boss gave his life for me. Now, you might think, yeah, but you're a broke Baptist preacher. You know, my boss owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. Yours? I got a good boss. Okay, I got a good boss. But now I'm in the place where I get the fruits of Jericho that God gives me. You understand that? Amen? You understand the application there? But see, AI, I got the fruits of AI for years and years.
We get the fruits of the world. God lets us have. You know, we get the, and seriously. And I'm not a name it and claim it preacher. You guys better understand that, okay? I don't think that God wants us to all be rich and prosperous Baptist. Okay, I don't believe that, okay? But I don't believe God wants us to be destitute and without, okay? I believe God wants us to give us not just our needs, but he wants to give us the desires of our heart. But the thing is, see, we have a hard time with that. You know why, Brother Tom? Because we don't delight ourselves in his law. Because he wants to give us the desires of our heart. He's promised to give us the desires of our heart. But we've got to delight ourselves in him first. Now, he wants to give us the spoils. He wants to give us the very best this world has to offer. And I'm talking about the best the world has to offer through him, okay? Don't get me wrong now. The best the world has to offer through him. There's things this world has to offer we ought not have nothing to do with. But see, that wasn't like Jericho. This is different. We get to live in the land. He told him to live in the land. He told him to splurge with the spoils. It's all yours, he said. So don't quake. Don't fear. Don't question. Don't doubt. And then don't quail. And I know what you're thinking. What in the world does a bird have to do with this? But I'm trying to alliterate, folks, okay? And what that word means is to fail or wither. Don't fail or wither. See, these children of Israel had to trust that Joshua knew what he was doing. Amen? Here's the thing. Joshua just led them into an ambush. Y'all get that, right? Yeah? Joshua just led them into an ambush. Joshua just led them into their first defeat. And so now Joshua says, okay, we're going back to Ai. We are. What did you lose another leg or something, Joshua? What's the matter with you, okay? What's going on? Why in the world would we go back to Ai? God says that we're not supposed to fear, and God says that he's going to give it to us. So let's go. And so God even gave him a plan. See, I want you to know something. Before they went to Ai before, Joshua did something wrong, okay? And now, listen, you're hard-pressed to find Joshua doing much wrong. And I'm not going to say that he did something wrong, but he didn't do everything right. All right? Because, see, Joshua took the counsel of some men and said, okay, go take Ai. What did he do when he got to Jericho? What did he do? God, what do I do? God, this is a great walled city and I don't know how to handle it. God, what do I do? What did God do? God told him how to handle it. Amen? And when Ai comes, did he say, God, what do I do? He didn't. You won't find it in your Bible. He didn't ask God, God, what about Ai? Because I think if he had, you know what God would have said? Don't go to Ai. You guys aren't ready yet. There's sin in the camp. There's sin in the camp. So Joshua may have made a misstep there. But see, this time, Lord, what do I do? The Lord says, don't be afraid. Don't fear. Don't quake. He says, don't question. But follow the orders this time. Okay? Follow the orders this time. And then don't fail. Don't fail in the fight. And the children of Israel had to be told these things, okay? And so, listen, last time how many did they send? 3,000, okay, against Ai? No problem. 3,000, no problem. This time, they led 30,000 people the night before the battle, 30,000 soldiers to the north of the city, okay? If the gate was in the south, then the city was on the ambush, they were laying in wait, it was 30,000 people. That's 30,000, Chris. That's a lot more than 3,000. I'm not very good at math. Put another zero on the end there, though. It's like, right? So there's 30,000, right? And so then Joshua says, but we're not done. He says, now take another 5,000 and put them over here on the west side of the city. And y'all lay in wait. Y'all get ready. Await for the ambush, okay? We're going to put it to them, all right? We're going to mess with them. We got them, all right? And so then what we're going to do is we're going to sneak in right up to the gate that night. All right, the next night, y'all go, you 30,000, you go over here and you wait, and you just wait for me. I'm going to give you the signal, and you 5,000, you go over here and wait, you know, and you're going to sit right there, and when I give you the signal, you're going to attack, and we're going to besiege this city. He says, and what we're going to do is me and this other, and I don't know how many he took, okay? I'm going to say, just because I'd have took 3,000, okay? I'd have took 3,000 to the gate of Ai. I don't know what he took, but I'd have took 3,000. So I could just see Joshua with the 3,000 folks going to the gates of Ai and at that night, and you know, to make it look like it was a surprise attack, right? And the king of Ai, he was keeping guard. Listen, hey, he was keeping guard. Why? Well, yeah, they won. Ai won, but he was worried about the children of Israel coming back. They'd heard the stories about the children of Israel, all right? And so Joshua says, we're going to go. And in the middle of the night, and then
the next morning, AI is going to come out, and they're going to think that they're going to have us again, and we're going to act like they got us, okay? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to run like they're going to beat us, right? And they're going to follow us. And so we are going to run and act like we're afraid, just like we were the last time, because we want them to chase us. And when they're all out of the city, you 30,000, you tear up that city, you 5,000, pin them in here between us, and we're going to whoop them, right? This is the plan, right? This is the plan. Don't fail. Don't fear in it. Don't quake in it. Don't be afraid. Don't stop. We can do this. We can do this, right? And so this is what they're going to do. Now, I know what you're thinking, because I thought this too, okay? Why didn't Joshua do this the first time? Well, because one, he didn't seek God's will. And I'm telling you what, even if Joshua would have said, don't take 3,000 fellas, I want you to take 30,000 here and 5,000 there, and we're going to ambush the city. Even if he'd have done it this way the first time, you know what would have happened? Anybody want to guess? More would have died. That's what would have happened. You know why? God's presence wasn't there. And I don't care. You can put all the numbers into it you want. If God's presence isn't there, there's no victory. Amen. If God's presence isn't there, there's no victory. So here they are, the 30,000 back there, the 5,000 over here, Joshua and the 3,000, I say, go towards the gate of the city. The king of Ai says, all right, fellas, we're going to go whoop Israel again. Let's go. And they go leaving the city, and they go out of the city, and they're chasing them. And Joshua goes, and he goes running off, you know, because they were acting like they were. Joshua may have been a good actor because the king of Ai bought him, man. So they're running. They're taking off, and so they're fleeing, and as they flee, the 30,000 wait for Joshua. And we read the passage where the Lord said, Joshua, I want you to stretch out your spear towards Ai, and I'm going to give it to you. And so Joshua, and I don't know where he was standing, okay? I'm going to imagine it was at a pretty high place for the 30,000 to see him and the 5,000 to see him, but as they were running, Joshua stops, he turns around, and he puts out that spear like God told him to do. All right? Puts out that spear. And the 30,000 come and they take Ai and they start burning it and destroying it. The 5,000 come over and they pin the ones that were out of the city. They get in between Ai and they get in between them and the children of Israel. And the children of Israel that were fleeing turn around and say, just kidding. And the men of Ai say, oh snap. That's a Hebrew word for ah. Okay, so they're there, and they start getting, you know, whooped. And so Joshua doesn't even fight. You know how I know this? Because the Bible says he held out his spear, and he didn't let it go. Didn't put it down. Why not? He's doing what God said. He's holding up the standard like God said. He said, I'm going to stand here. Y'all fight. And he did. And so they kept fighting. Now, there were those that were awaiting the ambush, and they had to do what they were told. They were told to seize the city. And as they're seizing the city, there are those that of Ai that realized, you know what? We're probably not going to win this time, okay? And they got a little afraid and they started taking off. And there were those that tried to go back into the city. And there were those that went all over. And God said, I want you to go after the ones that are going into the city. I want you to go to the ones that are out in the byways. I want you to go and get all of them. I want you to go get all of them. Now, here's the things I would apply this to. And I know what you're thinking. Oh, he's going to talk about soul winning. Actually, that might be Sunday morning. We're not going to talk about that right now. We're talking about getting the victory in our life. Because let me tell you something. You can't be a good soul winner if you don't have God's victory in your life. You just can't, okay? We got to have God's presence before we can ever win folks to the Lord. That's just plain and simple, okay? And that's what I want. I want to get to that point, okay? I want to bear the fruit. But see, before we can bear the fruit, we got to have the husband. We got to be in the vine, amen? So, Here's my application for this, okay? Because we're talking about the promised land, all right? The promised land is abundant Christian life. It's God's victory in our life. It's us being able to live victorious, not a defeated life, defeated in sin, okay? Not wallowing in sin and despair. No, a victorious life where God is supplying our needs and we are close to Him, and we love being around Him, love being around His people, love doing the things that He says. Listen, that doesn't come by accident, okay? You got to follow God's orders for this to happen. You got to do things God's way for this to happen. And so what He's saying is, when He says, I want you to go get the ones that are in the city, and I want you to take them, I want you to go to the ones that are over here hiding in the woods, and I want you to take them out. I went, listen, we've got sin all over the place. We've got sin right here, right in plain for everybody to see. Guess what? God says, take care of it, get rid of it. And we got sin that went over this way that we try and hide off over in this little recess of our heart and our mind. And God says, I want you to get rid of that. And we got sin over here in the woods, hiding over here, trying to stay away from everybody so nobody knows really what's going on. And God says, I want you to get rid of that. We got to wipe every bit of it out. All of it. Why? Well, we want the promised land, right? We want the spoils. Amen? Amen? We want the spoils. We want the good stuff. We want the stuff that God's promised to us, but we can't have the promises if we don't have His presence. So go when sent. Go where sent and get rid of. Don't fail. Don't wither. Get rid of the stuff that God wants us to get rid of. Then the fourth point under our one point is we're not to quake, we're not to question, we're not to quail, and don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Be in the battle. Now, being in the battle can be weary. It can be wearisome. It can be tiring. I want you to notice something here. And I love this. Y'all remember, it's probably about a month or so ago, I was preaching about Abram. And when Abram got saved, okay, Abram called out to the Lord. And I know there are those that might think, well, Abraham got saved when he was at Ur of the Chaldees, right? Because God told him to leave his father's house and go to the land that he'd showed him. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that, but my Bible tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I didn't see Abram calling the name of the Lord there. And then he got to Haran, and there his father died. And God reminded him again that he was supposed to go to the promised land, this land that he was going to show him. And Abram went. But I didn't see him calling on the name of the Lord there either. But then Abram got to a place. In Genesis chapter, I think it's Genesis chapter 12, you'll see this. He got to a place called Bethel. Y'all remember Bethel? Bethel means the house of God, right? And there he met God face to face, and God talked to him, and he worshiped God. But something happened, and he headed down to Egypt. And he got himself into some trouble down in Egypt. And then he came back. And he came back. Now, listen, his life was a mess, right? Abraham's life was a mess. But he came back to Bethel. And he was in between Bethel and this place called, the Bible spells it H-A-I. And guess what? It's the exact same place. It's the exact same place 500 years later that the children of Israel will be doing battle. Now, what does Hai mean? Or what does Ai mean? Overthrown as if ruined. Okay, and I want you to understand something. Child of God, we are in a battle. And we are in a battle. The only thing is, this is Bethel. This is the house of God. This is not where the battle is. This is where the victory's at. And guess where else the battle isn't? The battle isn't in Ai. And if you'll look in this chapter, you'll see that the battle was taking place in between Ai between Bethel. It was taking place in between an overthrown life of ruin and the house of God. And listen, this is where the battle's at. The battle isn't the house of God. That's not where we ought to be fighting. You ought not be coming here and fighting with your brothers and sisters in Christ. That's not where the battle's at. And listen, you're not supposed to go out into the world and fight with them. That's not where the battle's at. You know where the battle's at? The battle's right here, in between that mess and the glory. In between the overthrown life that God has taken you from and this life that God wants to give you. That's where the battle's at. And you got to be in the battle. Don't flee. Don't run from it. Be in the battle. Between Ai and Bethel. Between ruin and reign. Now, the children of Israel whoop Ai. All right? Ai's done. Everybody's dead but one guy. Left one guy alive, the king of Ai. And I know you might be thinking, whoa, they're not listening to what God said. Wait, story's not done. So they take the king of Ai and they hang him on a tree. Okay? And you might think, well, what's that mean? I'll tell you in a second. They hang him on a tree. And then after they hang him on a tree, they leave him there all day. And after they're done hanging him on the tree and leaving him there all day, they take him down and they bury him publicly. Right there in the gate of the city. They bury him. And I know there might be some of you great theologians who are thinking,
Is this about Christ?
No, it's not. No, this is about me. This is about me. This is about you. Who's the king? Well, they don't give us a name. But you know who he is? He's the king of this old overthrown life. He's the one that was in charge of this flesh. Me. I was the one in charge of that overthrown life. And I'm not supposed to be in charge anymore. You know what I'm supposed to do? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I. Romans chapter 6 tells us that we're to crucify our flesh. We're to crucify our flesh. And listen, listen. You'll never have the victory in your life until the old king is dead. Until he's hung up on that tree. Okay? And then you leave him there. They left him there until the sun was down. And you leave him there. You know what that means? Until the sun comes back, he stays there. Until Jesus Christ comes back, he stays dead. He's got no business living. And guess what? It ought to be a public thing. They left him there and they pulled him down and they buried him in the gate of the city under a heap of stones. Why? It needed to be done publicly. And we ought to have a life crucified for Christ. Dead to self in a public manner so that people see who we're living for. So that people can see the victory in our life. We got to kill the king. We got to bury the body. And it's got to be a public display. Now listen. I like the title, We're Back, because I can just see Joshua as he turns and puts his spear out and says, we're back. And then I also think about this. Here they are, 500 years, at least 500 years after Abram had called on the name of the Lord there in between Bethel and Ai. And here they are. We're back. We're back. Because listen, they'd been in Egypt just like Abram had done. They weren't where God wanted them to be. And now they're trying to get back. And it's a fight. Listen, I know there are those here that are not where God wanted them to be. And they're trying to get out of Egypt. And here they are. They're in between that life ruin and in between what God has for them. Stay in the battle. Kill the king. Kill the king. Die to self. All right? And then let the Lord have the rule over your life. Let him have the rule over your life. Now listen, here's my one point. You want to be a winner? Yeah? Everybody raise your hand. You want to be a winner? Amen? Follow the game plan. Follow the game plan. You know what? I love it when I'm coaching basketball. And, man, me and Matt, I'll give it an illustration. Me and Matt, we were at the tournament, all right? Listen, I had not won this tournament yet. Not since Matthew was in sixth grade had I ever won this tournament that we go to every year for the junior high basketball team at Colonial, okay? Never had. Come close a couple times. Last year, we came really close. I was second place last year, right? Hate losing. I mean, I hate losing. And so, had a game plan, right? And we got this game plan. And it was working pretty good, okay? It was working pretty good. And, boy, it was our toughest opponent, right, Matt? And they're playing a really, really intense little defense that shook us for a second. Boy, Matt says, let's do this, Dad. And I was like, ooh, that's good. We changed the game plan. But you know what? You know what brought us the victory? We had a game plan, and we followed the game plan. And see, God wants to give us the victory. Amen? Amen? God wants to give us the victory. And see, the victory's been promised. The victory's been promised to us. And the game plan's right here. It's right here. You don't even have to... Listen, when I'm coaching basketball and I get a game plan together, I sometimes wonder if it's going to work. You know what I'm saying? Right? I sometimes wonder if it's going to work. But I never have to wonder if this is going to work. It's never failed me yet. I've failed. I've messed up. You know how? I put that down. I come up with my own game plan. God, you've been doing pretty good, but I got this. I got this. I've learned from you. Right? Right? We think that way. No, I don't, Pastor. Liar. We do. We start thinking, you know what? I've learned a lot. I'm doing okay. God, take a break. Because that's what the children of Israel did with AI. Hey, see what we did in Jericho? We got this. We can take care of AI. They forgot to get the game plan. They put the game plan down. Don't put the game plan down. Don't put it down. You want to be a winner? Follow the game plan. It's time to pray.